So in everything, Jesus summarized do unto others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So in everything. I used to read this verse, so in everything you do, do to others. That may be what a translation said. But Jesus says, so in everything. Does that include actions and attitudes and perspective? I'd like to begin and end my sermon today with this truth. Deep, ancient, very practical. Jesus gave it a little different, deeper meaning when he spoke these words, also in the book of Leviticus, in a different form. And I want to say how real these words of Jesus are for today. As we live in this crazy crisis of national upheaval, treat other people like you would like them to treat you. May I add, treat them like you would like to be treated if you were walking in their shoes, or how we used to say, 2 miles in their moccasins. If we were them, how would we want to be treated? When it comes to the highly charged conflicts around us, what does Jesus say to our hearts and our minds and our consciences, our attitude? We do have a lot of voices speaking to us. Some are good and some aren't so good. Some probably help us to embrace these words, and some don't. And so in everything, preaching to you, preaching to me, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Wow, Jesus. See, Jesus added that part. This really sums up what I'm about. It really sums up the revelation of God from Mount Sinai on. So in everything. That challenges me. For today, they were known as the men of Issachar, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Unique, different, at least at this point in the story, greatly effective for their day. They stand out among the 12 tribes for a reason that you may probably know, but if not, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we're going to read it in a few minutes. They lived during an upheaval time in Israel. It was a time of transition from one king to another, from King Saul, the first king of Israel, to David, the second king of Israel, and the throne had been ripped from Saul because of Saul's hardness of heart, and there were people that didn't want Saul to lose the kingdom, and they were loyal to him, and others believed and knew that God had chosen a new king, David, and so there were people that were loyal to both, and in the chapter that we're going to read, the time is coming together. Saul has now been killed. He died. And the people were deciding, are we going to be loyal now to the new king or not? There was a lot of disloyalty going on and things happening, and that had to be dealt with and taken care of. It was a day of a fair amount of upheaval in Israel. Maybe somewhat like our days are now here in some ways, where we live in a tumultuous time. These days are confusing. I'm just going to mention some words that describe how I feel about what's going on, especially with the civil unrest, but also about the virus. Number one, these days are confusing. We don't really know what to think. We've not been down this particular road before. It's a variety of feelings and opinions and what people think about how it began and what happened and what's happening now and where it's going. These are scary days, especially for those that tend to probably be more concerned and live on that edge. These are very frightening days for people, some about the virus, some about the upheaval, and some about both. They're scary days. These are very diverse days. These are days that have all kinds of different things going on. It's like the news is coming to us from 360 angles, circles, about our world. And we don't know what to believe. We don't know what to embrace. We're not even sure what was right and what is wrong. And the news is polarizing. Americans going to this end and this end and just extremes constantly. And those of us that are trying to somehow live in the middle feel ripped apart by all this. Good people feel differently about some issues. And then the unknown about what's going to happen next. I don't know what the news is going to be tomorrow morning. I can only guess. 3 weeks from now, the world could be very different than it is right now. There may be a third development in 2020 that we're not expecting a bit. Who would have guessed number one? Who would have guessed number two? I guess you had to be Nostradamus or whoever that was back then. What's going to happen tomorrow, I don't know. But I do know that God says things to us about where we're at today. On the lighter side, I saw this posted the other day on Facebook, and people send me stuff all the time, and a lot of times I don't have time. I don't necessarily take time to be able to look at stuff, but I looked at this picture, and I got a good laugh out of it, and I thought, I want to show that in church on Sunday. I think it's next on there. I don't know if you can read the words on the screen, but out in the middle of this big pasture is a big, old, ancient door. And it says on top, it says, normally, I'd be curious enough to walk through this door, but this year, I'm not sure I want to take that chance. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and through this door. Now let's come back to the men of Issachar. Chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles. If you want to follow along, it'd be a great time for you to do that. I'm going to read parts verses 23 through 38. I'm not going to read the whole text. I'm going to skip a little bit because it's a long one and things that are not necessarily related to what I want to talk about today. But here comes 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23. These are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord had said. From Judah, carrying shield and spear, 6,800 armed for battle. From Simeon, warriors ready for battle, 7,100. From Levi, 4,600. From Benjamin, Saul's tribe, 3,000. From Ephraim, brave warriors, famous in their own clans, 20,800. From half of the tribe of Manasseh, designated by name to come and make David king, 18,000. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200. From Zebulun, experienced soldiers prepared for battle with every type of weapon to help David with undivided loyalty, 50,000. From Naphtali, 1,000. 37,000. From Dan, 28,600. From Asher, 40,000. And from east of the Jordan, from Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, armed with every type of weapon, 120,000. All these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over Israel. David had assembled a mighty army. The stakes were high. The nations around this newly formed country were wanting to destroy Israel. The armies of several nations had invaded and over the years attacked, and even at that moment were on the edge of destroying or trying, wanting to destroy Israel. One that we've heard so many things about, the Philistines, one of them. Each of the 12 tribes are represented here. 12 tribes of Israel. They all were there. Their men, their soldiers, their armies, ready and loyal to King David. We're told they were warriors. That was their identity. That's who they were, and they were ready to go to battle. It also says in verse 38 that they were volunteers. These are the ones that said, I want to go fight for my country. I want to fight for King David. I want to be involved in protecting our country, protecting our land, fulfilling the covenant with God. We also read, and I read the numbers, they were all numbered. How many were in the fighting army, and some families and others are in these numbers? They're ready for battle. Each of these tribes had their strengths. Each of these different named descendants of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel, had their strengths about them. For example, it says about Judah. It says that they had shields and spears. They were armed for battle. Simeon, warriors ready. Ephraim, brave warriors, famous in battle. Asher, experienced soldiers. Manasseh, they were armed with every type of weapon. And then you have Issachar, right in the middle of the passage. Seventh one mentioned here, the men of Issachar. Verse 32. First thing that I notice about the men of Issachar is that the number 200's in their list. Wow, 200. Compared to 120,000 from the half-tribe of Manasseh and Dan and Asher, and 28,600 from Dan, and 50,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, how many are mentioned about Issachar? 200. Wow. And it says they're relatives under their command, so there's more. But the point is, the number given to us by the writer, 200 men of Issachar. 200. The next closest is 3,000 listed. The men of Issachar. It doesn't take that many people to do the will of God and get things accomplished that are good. It really only takes one. But in Issachar, there were 200. I see from the story. Issachar was one of the descendants' sons of Jacob. He was the ninth son of Jacob. Other than this accounting of the tribe of Issachar, there are some other things about Issachar that are great and told through the Old Testament, but not a whole lot. Not compared to Judah and Simeon and many of the others. In fact, Issachar, you might say, is just one of the unknown tribes. Not completely unknown, but compared to others, the men of Issachar. 200 of them. A small number. But what do we know about this small number of men of Issachar? We find in verse 32, they were known for their wisdom. They were known for their ability to discern. They were known for their ability to hear what was going on in the world around them and know what to do. We need men of Issachar today. We need men of Issachar in this church. We need men and women who are so close to God, that they will hear God's voice and they will listen and respond and be leaders. It says that they were known for their wisdom. That's how I say it. It says in verse 32, men who understood the times. They understood the day they lived in. They understood this transition with Saul and David and the disloyalty and the Philistines and all the things going on. 200 men. Boy, what was their role in the battle? They understood the times. And secondly, it says that they knew what Israel should do. Somehow they had gotten this ability to hear the heart of God and to be leaders. They knew what Israel should do. Their story, their example, I believe, is something for us to think about in these days of turmoil in our country, and praying that God would help us to be men of Issachar, that we would seek His heart and His Spirit in a way that God would show us how we can be the salt and the light in this world, in this society of chaos. What God wants me to do and you to do in order to live out your faith in what's going on. There's so many different things that can distract us, that can draw us, that can push us, that can quiet us, that can make us stormy about things that doesn't happen, that don't matter. But God, I pray that we would be men and women of Issachar in our church. We need men of Issachar to stand up in our community, in our cities, in our nation. I have a feeling there's enough warriors out there with shields and spears to do that part of the work. But I'm praying there'll be some men and women of Issachar that know what to do in these times and these days. Pray for the men of Issachar. Pray that in this community there'll be men of Issachar. Pray that in our government there'll be men and women of Issachar. How do we pray? Number one, I want to say that we pray as men of Issachar. And seeking God's Spirit, we pray that we keep our eyes on Jesus. There's a lot of other goals that people can put their eyes on right now. A lot of other agendas. A lot of other stakes out there. But for the church, our weapons are different. God calls us to keep our eyes on Jesus and broadcast Jesus and live Jesus, love Jesus. And love people through Jesus. I'm thinking about more Jesus and less news. I'm thinking about being so passionate about hearing God's voice that this is more important to us than this. Quietness before God and saying, God, what do you say to me is more important than MSNBC and NBC, all of them, never mind. Both sides of them, I mean. We are to fight, but the weapons that we fight with are to be different. Sometimes the shield and the spear, I'm not saying that there's not a place for every type of soldier, because there are. But God uniquely gives the church of Jesus Christ a different perspective, a different way to deal with what we hear. Seize every opportunity to be the salt and the light in a world that's broken. Seize the opportunity. Don't waste our time. Don't waste my time, your time. I said in the service, the first service this morning, I don't want to live my life and come to the end and look back and say, you have wasted your life. You've wasted it on yourself. You've wasted it on your own blessings. I also said this morning, maybe when I prayed, I talked about this whole deal of what is it, white privilege. I know that's an offensive term. It is a little bit to me, but I tell you, I've had a lot of blessings in my life. A whole lot of blessings. Whatever you call it, God's given me so much. I've had so much early in my life, in my young life, and college years, and my family, my wife, and parents that loved me, and stability in my home, and a great college to go to. God's given me a privilege to be a pastor for 30 years. I am so blessed. I don't want the fact that I'm so blessed to blind me from seeing the hurt and the pain in people who have not had those blessings. I'm far more concerned about that for me and the church and what to do about it, about that side of it, than I am about knowing that you guys are going to pick up arms and go throw bottles at people. I'm not too tempted to do that, but sometimes I'm tempted to not take the risks. I'm tempted to be so thankful for what I have that I want to protect everything I have. Say they belong to me. I feel like for me, I'm not worried about going out on the deep end and, you know, start carrying signs and screaming at people, making demands. If anything, I'm afraid the temptation for me is to be quiet when I should speak up and I should speak out. Men of Issachar, understanding the times. I want to say, don't let the extremist keep you from speaking out. Don't let the extremist control you. Man, on both sides of all this stuff is extreme positions. And if you get on one of them, it'll control you. If you get on the other one, it'll control you. And maybe keep you from being what God wants you to be, where you're at, and where you have influence. So be careful about that. Number two, and I started to say it, and I said them backwards. Don't let extremists keep you from speaking out against sin. The fact that somebody's going to put you in that corner or this corner should not keep us from speaking out about what is wrong and sin, both past and present. Speaking the truth in love. Being honest about sin, where it exists. It begins in my heart and my attitudes. But God, help me to speak the truth. Help me to have a heart that is able to say, you have the right to come in and examine my heart and my feelings and my thoughts. The third thing, don't let your fears control you. That can happen too. I'm afraid of change. Afraid of maybe acknowledging something that's controversial. Afraid of what may be taken from us. Those are all fears that are very real. Don't let that control you either. Only one thing that should control you, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. You come before Him and you say, Holy Spirit of God, you show me what's right. Don't let an unsanctified spirit control you. A selfish spirit, but say, God, what do you want to say in me and to me and maybe through me? Where, God, do you want me to look at it different than I have before? I give you permission to speak to my heart. I give you permission to say, you've looked at it that way a long time. I want you to think of something different. Kind of like Peter when God lowered the unclean animals down to him and said, Peter, take and eat. No, God, I would never do that. Of course he wouldn't. He loved God. He wanted to honor God. Of course he wouldn't do that. But see, God had something deeper. Something that helped Peter to see his world different than he had. Pray that God would help us to see these days in the way that we should. Whatever they are. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. There's so many. I had to narrow down to one as I closed my message this morning. This one from the prophet Zechariah. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. Oh God, help us to know what that verse means. Help us to be willing to say, teach me, God, where you want to. If I need to be more tender, God, help me to be more tender. If I need to be more tough, God, help me to be more tough. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. As we close this service, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Would you stand, please? St. Francis, about 800 years ago, a little bit more than 800 years ago, wrote a prayer. It's been quoted in churches and by Christians. If you do not have one and would like one, would you just quickly put up your hand? I want you to have one if you do. Anybody need one? Nobody. Okay. They're on the back and the front if you do. I'd like to invite you just to read that through. And then I'm going to invite you to pray that with me together. Would you take a moment and do that? Would you read it aloud and together in unison? Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. The line that has stuck with me as I've read this is to be understood as to understand. God, help me to be able to hear what you want me to, and guide me, I pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for those who are on the phone. I'm not sure if we lost them or not. They may be there, but blessings to you. Facebook, YouTube, all of you today. Glad you could join us. Thanks for being here. God bless.